You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Monday edition. I hope everyone had a fantastic bye weekend. We're continuing our team bye grades for the 49ers, our bye week grades. Offensive side of the ball was Friday's show. Today is the defensive side of the football, and I think we're going to be less frustrated. Crocky, I hope you've calmed down since the last episode. You did not like what you're seeing on the offensive side of the ball at multiple positions, and it came through, and sometimes you try to skew positive, and it's still, it's like, yeah, you can tell there's some frustration level there, and I think there's going to be less frustration over here. And this is Crocky's specialty, too, in the defensive backfield, so we'll hold off to that till the end. Let's start up front with the defensive line, at BD Peacock on Twitter, at Eric_Crocker. You got a problem with our grades. If you just have some questions, some comments, get involved in some, maybe some mailbags later in the week, hit us up there on Twitter, at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker. Crocky, the defensive line. This team is built around the defensive line. This is supposed to be the biggest, baddest unit on the field for the 49ers. Has been for a while. Have they played up to that standard so far in 2021 for you?
Yeah, I think they've played very well. Now, it's tough because I think we're kind of skewed a little bit by 2019 and what that looked like and thinking like, hey, maybe there's a way we can replicate that. Haven't done that, but I'd give this defensive line a solid B. I think they've done well. I think they've done an amazing job. Matter of fact, I'll give them a B+ because they've done so well with containing mobile quarterbacks. That hasn't been the issue so far. Maybe it's scheme, but they've done an amazing job there. The sack numbers are getting there. I think they are getting after opposing quarterbacks. I like that. And they are doing it well. Two guys, I don't even think they're like 100% up to speed. Talking about Nick Bosa, D Ford, two guys that I think down the stretch pushed for the playoffs. Those are going to be the guys that we really lean on. I think they're just getting their feet wet in the process. Bosa, 5 sacks in 5 games. Eric Armstead, he's leading. He's like up near the top of the league in pressures. He's been terrific there. Still, Kinlaw, I don't know what's going on there, and we'll see kind of how he progresses. But overall, I like what I've seen so far. I think they can be a little bit better versus the run, though, that if I have one gripe with what we've seen from the defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed everything. I can't really argue with anything there. 5 sacks in 5 games for Bosa. It's obviously a 17-sack pace right now, which would put him in defensive player of the year categories there. I mean, and he's a studly guy, leads the team in pressures according to Pro Football Focus with 19. Eric Armstead's one behind him in pressures, and that's kind of been Eric Armstead's MO, is more pressures than sack. But disruption is production, as they say. And yeah, so just one fewer total pressure for Armstead.
The coach from the Chargers, that was his thing, where he's like, they put more stock into pressures because they feel like that's more consistent than a sack here and there, but then you could possibly disappear throughout the game.
Yeah, and sacks don't translate that well year to year. I think there's a lot that goes into it. Who you're playing against, the circumstances. Sometimes you get a sack because a guy runs into you, and it was somebody else who made the play who chased that quarterback into your side of the field. So a lot goes into a sack, and it's not the greatest pure measure. I would absolutely also go with pressures, and you just kind of take it all and take the context of everything. There's a big drop, though, into the next after 19 and 18 pressures for Bosa and Armstead. The next one is D Ford, and I feel like he's been less disruptive in the more recent games. He kind of came out hot and came out a little bit hotter to start the season. He had the off, like his offsides thing is super weird. Like, I don't know what that is with D Ford. Like, he's got some spatial awareness problem with where the ball's lined up and where that line crosses where his hands are, and so he'll jump sometimes. Like, he's just, it's dogged him for a long time. So it's just, that's the way
it's,
he's
not even
be.
A jump. It's a, he just lines up, in the
up
neutral
too
zone.
Far. Yeah.
Like, if it was, I think that was what Amar Brooks used to do, right? Was he lining up in the neutral zone, or he was jumping off sides? Yeah. But Amar Brooks had an issue like that as well.
That's a similar type of player too. That's weird. Yeah.
Same number.
Yeah, that's wild. I wonder what that is. But nothing new for D Ford. But the fact that he's even on the field and productive is, you know, a huge bonus. I didn't even think they would have him this year. So that's pretty cool. And then there's been sort of a mishmash of interior defensive linemen. I think the interiors might have been somewhat disappointing. I've seen DJ Jones coming on, which is good. He had his first sack of the year. Kinlaw does have the 1 sack, 5 pressures. Kentavious Street leads the interior guys with 6 total pressures. He's got a sack. And yeah, I think they could be better against the run. This isn't the 2019 unit, but I didn't expect it. I think B plus is right on. The defensive line has been good. They haven't been amazing. They're not quite on the A level, but they've been very good, and they've really carried this defense as expected so far. And I was a little worried early on, but no, they're doing their job. I'd like to see a little bit more from the inside. Like in Kinlaw, let's be honest, Kinlaw's been a disappointment. Over, you know, for a first round draft pick that was the replacement pick, the one-for-one replacement for DeForest Buckner, which hurts him just because it's that same pick that they got for Defoe, and you think, okay, he's going to replace him. And we shouldn't really think of it like that, but it's just so easy because that was the actual pick they got. And he's shown some flashes. He's shown some plays both his rookie year and now in his second year, but there's no consistency there. There's the injury stuff, so he's not reliable either. So it's been sort of a disappointing draft pick so far in Javon Kinlaw, and you hope there's more there, and he's obviously a huge guy and physically talented, but I'm just not sure that everything's firing right for him and that's going to come, but it still could. He's still a very young player.
I didn't like the pick. I didn't like the thought process in which they did. I get it in the sense of getting him on a cheaper deal while being able to sign other guys like Armstead and Jimmy Ward, but I just never... When they did it, I'm just like, because I was all on board for that to be CeeDee Lamb. I thought it was going to be Lamb. And when they didn't take Lamb, they took Kinlaw. I thought the point was to slide Armstead inside more.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought that was a perfect path, but they wanted more size. They wanted more. I remember with John Lynch, it kind of surprised me. The direction that the league is going, and I understand they played the Seahawks twice a year, but one of the things that stood out to me after they drafted Kinlaw was talking about the 330-pound guards that the Seattle Seahawks had. And I was like, well,
they were never an issue before.
Yeah, then sign Snacks Harrison. You know, sign a 350-pound nose tackle if you want to fight a 330-pound guard. Like, that's not the way the rest of the league is going. So that kind of surprised me a little bit.
Could Snacks be, and I played with Snacks in New York, but could Snacks be playing as well as Kinlaw?
I mean, it's not that high of a bar. He's a different guy, you know, and the 49ers do have DJ Jones, who, by the way, according to PFF, DJ Jones is the 49ers' third highest graded defensive player after Armstead and Bosa. And it's a big drop. Like, Armstead and Bosa are right in the same range, 89.4, 89.2 grades, which is awesome grades. Like, that's a great grade from Pro Football Focus for the season. And then DJ Jones is 73.4, drops all the way down. That's the third highest ranked player on the 49ers defense. And Maurice Hurst in limited action, 71. He's the fourth highest rated defensive lineman on the 49ers. And I think he's going to provide a little bit of interior pressure. I loved the Maurice Hurst pickup. I have no idea what the Raiders were doing getting rid of him. But when he's on the field, I think he's going to be productive for the Niners. Let's see. Anybody, any other notes? Any other defensive linemen? You know who's been a disappointment too is free agent Zach Kerr. Ebukam too. Yeah, he's done really nothing. Like, both Kerr and Ebukam have really done not much of anything. So yeah, and Ebukam's tough because he's athletic, but he's kind of a tweener. Where it reminds me a little bit of Solomon Thomas, because Solomon Thomas was in a tweener where it didn't fit in either spot. Because sometimes you are like Armstead can play both outside and inside, and I feel like there was some crossover with Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead. Like, if Thomas played edge on early downs and then jumped inside and played the interior, I think that would be the best way to use him. And the 49ers didn't really know what to do with him because they kind of already had that guy in Armstead. Maybe his career would have turned out better if they didn't already have Armstead, but Armstead's better at doing that exact thing. But I feel like, and Solomon Thomas wasn't quite big enough to hold up inside and wasn't athletic enough, couldn't turn the corner, and it just was very straight lineish and tight. And I think Ebukam's kind of like that, only as an outside linebacker. He's not athletic enough and instinctive enough to be your true off-ball linebacker, which is the way the Rams kind of used him. And then as a hybrid rusher, he's kind of just doesn't really have much of a pass rush plan, and he's athletic, and he's not really super strong holding up the point of attack. So I'm just not sure what role Samson Ebukam fits in, because he just doesn't have that pass rush ability like someone like Dee Ford, who's built similarly.
Right. Yeah, that's been the biggest, I don't want to say disappointment, but there's just been no impact.
Kevin Givens has been hurt. Kentavious Street has shown a couple flashes. Again, Street's somewhat like Dee Ford. I wasn't sure if he was going to make the roster, but the fact that he made a roster, I think, was big for him. Kevin Givens, I expected more from this year. And obviously, he's only played two games so far, but that one's surprising. I thought he was going to be a major contributor in that interior rotation. But overall, the defensive line's been good, and it has been the strength of the 49ers defense. So, yeah, B pluses across the board, Crocky, for the D-line.
Yep.
All right, let's talk linebackers, and then we'll talk DBs and maybe give some coaching grades if we have time as well coming up. Folks, get your streams together with DirecTV Stream. Don't be fumbling around with different remotes, different devices. You're using this password there. It's borrowing somebody else's sister's brother's password for this one. You're fumbling around at 6:30 in the morning, maybe, if you're like me on the West Coast trying to watch a London game. Then you got a different game on a different network. Get it all together and watch your sports more simply with DirecTV Stream. Bring your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. You know what? It just hit me, Croc. We should just let's grade the fans. Should we grade the 49ers fans?
No.
Let's grade the listeners. A plus. If we can get out an A, it's the Locked On 49ers listeners, right? The Locked On fan. Oh my goodness. All right, let's go. Linebackers. Fred Warner. Fred Warner's solid. Yeah, you never have to worry about Fred Warner, but he's not making a ton of plays either. He's just doing his job, and that's about it right now. Like, is that a disappointment? Some fans are out there are kind of like, dude, and some of the analytics folks, like, you don't pay a linebacker. We paid him too much. You can't build your defense around a linebacker. Too much money, bad contract. And look, now he's not even playing that well.
Well, yeah, he's not, quote unquote, until he is. And when we need him to make a play, typically it's him that's in position to do so. When you look at, the Philadelphia Eagles game, when they went at him like three straight times near the end zone, who made the plays? Fred Warner. So it might not be something that jumps out from play to play, but at some point, he's going to be the guy that punches that ball out. He's going to be the guy that, you know, gets an interception. I'm not worried about Fred Warner at all. But like you, I have seen people on Twitter say certain things. I've had people on my YouTube channel ask about Fred Warner, if people were concerned with him. I'm probably least concerned with Fred Warner, you know, on the entire defense.
Fred Warner does not have a good grade from Pro Football Focus either. They have not liked Fred Warner's output this year. In fact, his 59.4 grade on defense is 15th on the D behind names like Dre Kirkpatrick after his one game, Arden Key, Talanoa Hufanga, Marcel Harris, Tavon Wilson, Tart. All those guys are ahead of Fred Warner right now, and that's sort of surprising. I didn't think his ranking would be that low, but part of it is tackling. He's missed a few tackles, and I think PFF really dings linebackers for missed tackles because you get in position, you got to finish the play. And, he's just over the fingertips in the Green Bay game. So he's in position, just not making a huge impact. I think that'll change. I think he'll have an interception. He'll have a sack. He'll have some big plays coming up. And I think a lot's put on him from a standpoint of he's not put in position to be highlighted as making plays, but they entrust him with a lot in the middle of that defense, and he covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, not worried about him. If he's quiet right now, that's fine. Yep. But at some point, he'll make his presence known, and I have no doubt in saying that and just knowing the type of football player he is and the energy that he brings, which I still see him bringing that same type of energy. So I'm fine with Fred Warner. We're great. Hopefully it is just missed tackles, because when it comes to linebackers, I probably care the least about missed tackles. Like, that's like the last thing that I kind of value with them. I care more about, you know, the coverage, you know, and I know his coverage grades aren't too great either, but I haven't noticed him be any type of issue. So I'm curious to see how PFF is grading him.
Yeah, he's got 178 coverage snaps so far on the year. They're grading his coverage as 60.7. Looking at his totals in coverage, he has been targeted, and linebackers getting targeted more than ever. He's been targeted 15 times in coverage, and 13 of those has been caught for 124 yards. That's 86.7% when he's targeted in his area.
That's not good.
And he's got one pass breakup on the year. So, but again, he's asked to do a lot. He's asked to carry. He's asked to cover a lot of ground in the middle. Azeez Al-Shaair has been targeted more than anybody on the entire defense, 31 times, twice as many as Fred Warner. And he's given up 23 catches, 74.2%. It's hard out there in the middle. And teams are scheming to target linebackers. Like, that's where teams are going after right now.
So, Greg Cosell, I heard him on KBR, and he was talking about how the 49ers played a ton of zone against the Arizona Cardinals. So, when you're targeting a linebacker, is that you're throwing the ball near his area and then he goes and makes the tackle?
Right, and I don't know the exact... We could ask our friend Jeff Deeney, who's a 49ers fan and one of the contributors over there at Pro Football Focus, an analyst, and he would know more about exactly how they count when it's in your coverage, like how many yards away is it? Is it just in your zone? You know, is he zoned up and they're throwing it and he's the closest guy to the ball, you know?
Yeah, so, and he that's a good down, question. Makes a tackle or something.
And obviously with these numbers and these target numbers, the linebackers are getting credited with a ton of targets. Like, that's... Al-Shaair has doubled anybody else hard almost on the team, and Fred Warner's been targeted almost as much as Diamador Lenore and Dante Johnson and Emmanuel Mosley in coverage. So it's a lot of targets there, and he hasn't broken up a lot of plays, and some of those he is in man coverage, and if he gets his hand on some balls, I think that grade will change very quickly. But yeah, Fred Warner's the last of my worries when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers and what kind of player he is. Azeez Al-Shaair, I think, has looked good. I mean, I kind of like Azeez Al-Shaair more than Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw hasn't played much, so he doesn't really factor into these grades too much. They both have very similar Pro Football Focus grades, which are just below where Fred Warner is. Actually, the guy who's got the highest grade for linebackers, according to PFF, is former safety Marcel Harris. What do you think about his transition to linebacker?
I mean, it's linebacker's a weird position because you don't really it's hard to be a really good linebacker, especially unless you're like the middle linebacker, you're the man in the middle. And even then, there are a lot of times where the guys in front of you take on really most of the kind of action, and then it frees you up to be able to slice in there and make a play like on the tackle. So I think the one thing I've noticed more than anything, whether it was Azeez or even Greenlaw, is at some point in that wide nine, and then this might be an issue with why the 49ers have kind of lacked a little bit in the run game defensively, those holes open up and the linebacker has to take on the pulling guy square on. And sometimes they pick a side and it makes the hole really big for guys to run through.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that with Dre Greenlaw earlier in the year against the Lions, and he was picking sides, and he was almost kind of just like, you know what, I'm not even going to pick a side. I'm just going to try to get all the way around you, and that wasn't really working very well. So I think that's probably one of the harder positions to grade, and I'm looking at just the entire league now for linebacker grades, and it's just scattered. So to me, it's more about trusting the eye test, and Warner's fine. He's good. He's going to make some more impactful plays, and I liked what I've seen from Azeez Al-Shaair, too. And Marcel Harris has been fine. Although, to be honest with you, from what I've seen from Marcel Harris as an outside backer, not being used all that different than when he's playing strong safety. I think that's almost an interchangeable position at this point, right?
Right. Yeah.
What about a grade for the linebackers?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go with C minus. Because, one, like you said, in coverage, and again, with however they're grading these guys, I have to put some stock into that, right? Like, just maybe you are a step too slow with reading it and diagnosing it. Maybe you're being told to let things in front of you be caught and rally down and make the tackle back. At the end of the day, the plays haven't been made that we need there. Now, we did have the one by Dre Greenlaw on the pick six, but aside from that, that's really been the one off in their playmaking there. I haven't seen the forced fumbles by them. Matter of fact, the forced fumbles have been by Josh Norman and Dante Johnson punching it out. Aside from that, man, the linebackers, I think that's my bigger issue, right? Because, you know, we see the grades and whatnot, but are you taking the ball away? And they're not doing that. And then they kind of get gassed a little bit in the run game. So I don't think that they've been a real issue because I think the defense has played well, but they're not doing anything that's too much game changing. So I'm going to go, I'll give them a C.
I think C is fair. They haven't been game-changing. They haven't been a problem necessarily. I think they could create some bigger plays. And the biggest play of the season, obviously, was that interception from Dre Greenlaw. But I thought he had a bad game because he was terrible in run defense, too. So what are you going to do there? Well, yeah, more big plays on defense is absolutely necessary, especially in the back seven. Let's talk about the secondary next. We might go long here because I know you've got thoughts, and I'm sure you got tons of notes on how some of these players have looked for the 49ers secondary. An injury-ravaged group next. Now is the time to grab yourself a box of Built Bars at built.com and get 15% off your first box while doing it with promo code LOCKED15. They brought back the marshmallow puff flavors recently. They're always bringing in new and fun flavors, and the bottom line is it tastes good and it's healthy. That's the only reason you need to be going to BuiltBar.com. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. Maybe you want a little bit more protein. You can get up to 18 grams of protein in some flavors, like the peanut butter, which is my favorite. But there's a ton of great flavors, all covered in delicious 100% chocolate, the 9 original flavors, a bunch of new flavors. I think they got 18 flavors up there. You can build your own box and mix and match flavors. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I know you love that football season is back and rolling, and I know you've learned a lot in the early going of the season. You can put that to use at betonline.ag. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. New updated site and interface, more odds, props, contests than ever before. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. And you can bet on other things as well. We've got baseball playoffs going on, basketball, hockey, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take an advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. And you can get a special bump with 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code Locked On. So go head over to your mobile device, website, desktop computer. You can access betonline.ag however you want. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Promo code Locked On to receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Croc, should we separate corners and safeties?
No, I think DBs? We can do them together.
Okay. Defensive backs. First of all, just what are your thoughts? Like, what have you seen from the 49ers defensive backs this year? You like it? Thumbs up as a unit? Is this a unit that's struggling somewhat? To me, it looked like a group that I thought was going to struggle more, but they also haven't been amazing.
I think considering everything, right, when you look and right away you lose the guy. The one guy we were like, oh, man, if we lose this guy, we're going to be in some trouble. And then they're trying to, you know, play patchwork with, you know, signing a guy like Dre Kirkpatrick, signing Josh Norman, and having to play these guys fresh off the streets a week after being with the team. Both of those guys, I think they had like kind of like a week. Having to play a rookie, Diamandola Norah, and him kind of go through his ups and downs. I think considering all that, and obviously you have the safeties, and I think for the most part, they have played well. They made some plays downfield, especially against the Philadelphia Eagles. Missed open field tackle. Maybe we should grade them different because I have two different grades for each group.
Okay, yeah, let's do them different.
So let's talk about the safeties first.
Okay.
I need to see more plays made. I need to see more plays made. There was opportunity for, you know, Jimmy Ward to make a play when the ball was fluttering in the air to DeAndre Hopkins, and he adjusted. I get it. Tough, but go be a guy, right? No plays being made. The open field missed tackle on the touchdown the running back Swift, DeAndre Swift against for the Detroit Lions. He scored a touchdown.
That was Jimmy Ward just kind of throwing his kind of chicken wing in there. He didn't really oddball attempt.
I get it, but at some point I need you guys to make plays because you're not taking the ball away. So when I look at this safety group and kind of just how much of a non-factor they've been, but they aren't the issue, right? Like the pass coverage is 7th in the league. So it's not like they're terrible, but they're not doing anything that truly stands out. So I'm going to go C- just because they've given up some plays, some vertical plays, the schemed up big ball post on Tart against the Packers. I get it, tough. But again, I need you guys to make some type of play. Not quite seeing that on a consistent basis. So I'm going to go ahead and get the safeties a C minus.
And if you're not going to make big plays, you got to be really good and just be safe. Your job title is in the name of your position there, and be safe and be making the routine plays and being where you need to be and make all the tackles and not give up big plays. And so for that reason, you nailed it. That's exactly what I was thinking when we split those up, is C minus for the safety group. The young guys, you think Hufanga's going to stick there? You think his future is like Marcel Harris's, where he's going to be sort of a dime linebacker type? Or because he's played more than I thought. They've let him roll out there in single high, and I was kind of surprised they let him do that.
Well, shoot, whenever you see them kind of working the guy in like that, that they're building for the long haul. All right, so we got Jaquiski Tartt on a one-year contract. He's going next year. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see Hufanga plugged right in.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I've been impressed by Hufanga. I like the way he plays, which is the thing that everyone liked about him, and that was obviously not going to be something to change. But I think athletically, he's hanging, and that's where I was worried about him. So another good fifth-round
pick. Big-time play against Kyler Murray on the containment.
Yeah, and obviously, even if you just had a core special teamer with your fifth-round pick, I think that would be fine. But he's making plays on defense, and he's proving early in his career that he can hang and that he can play. So I like that. Chalk another one up to the scouting department for finding a fifth-round pick. We always dog them for the early-round picks, but, man, they're so good in the later rounds. It's pretty crazy. Before we get to corners, let me ask you this one. If you had to guess, who do you think has the best coverage grade according to PFF on the 49ers defense? I'll give you a hint. Let me give you a hint. You're not going to guess it.
All right. So since I'm not going to guess it, I'll say Dante Johnson.
Oh, so that's a great guess. He's second. Number one is Eric Armstead. But that's a sample size thing. He was in coverage for one snap, and it was not complete. So. The grades aren't great. That's the highest grade in coverage for just straight coverage grades on the 49ers defense is Armstead, 73.1. I guess that's what you get for not getting one pass completed against you. It's really hard in the small sample stuff, which is still pretty small samples even through five total games if you're playing every snap here. But Dante Johnson, second highest coverage grade there for the 49ers. Marcel Harris, Emmanuel Mosley is next, then Greenlaw, then Ward, then Verrett in that one game. Then Tavon Wilson, then Lenore. Talk to me about Diamondo.
I think the bigger issue just in general with those guys, and probably what's really dinging them, is the pass interference and holding calls against the secondary guys, specifically the corners.
Big plays really skew a grade, especially in a small sample for Pro Football Focus too, because the way they grade is at 0.5s. So, you know, you get a zero, which is, you know, nothing for your play, and they grade every single play. So you just do it, nothing happens. You know, you're a corner, they run the ball the other way, it's nothing. You miss a tackle, you know, it's maybe it's a negative 0.5 or a negative one on a bad play, or you get torched for a touchdown, maybe it's a negative two. It could go all the way up to two. And then for positive plays, you know, you have a pick six, that's a positive 2 points, you know, or maybe you make a tackle, it's plus 0.5 or something like that. So, you know, you can see how one big play could skew things if you're pretty much zeroed out and just playing solid everywhere else, especially in a small sample.
And their pass interference calls, I mean, obviously, like, they're downfield. You know, Lenore had a big one against
those are huge plays.
The Packers. And
those don't go to like passing yards too. So like you see that's skewed. I think the 49ers have had more passing yards against them when you consider the big plays downfield from things like PI. No?
No, I don't agree, just because pass interference is subjective to the referee. So they could cover a guy just like that and be on a different team and there'd just be a non-call. But one ref might see it different than another ref and actually throw a flag. So unless you just pull a guy down or you grab a guy because you're holding for dear life, like the Diamador Lenore pass interference call on the slot fade against the Green Bay Packers, I thought that was terrific coverage and shouldn't have been a flag. But then, you know, same thing on Eric Stokes guarding Brandon Ayuk on a vertical shot down the middle of the field. And he barely like touched his shoulder as Ayuk was falling, and they called pass interference on him. I think that's wrong. Like that was never going to be a catch. So that's why it's hard for me to like just say, oh yeah, this would have been a big play if he didn't pass interference, because most of the time is just good coverage and it's subjective to the referee.
Yeah. But then sometimes it would have been, you know, a 60-yard touchdown. And instead it was a, you know, a 35-yard pass interference because that's where the penalty happened and he saved a touchdown because he knew he was beat and he's holding on for dear life. So there's absolutely that too.
Because look, and I know people think that, but that might happen once a year for each player. Because at the end of the day, most defensive backs, you feel like if I'm close enough to grab this guy, then I'm close enough to make a play on the ball.
Do you think it's BS that guys like Josh Norman get flagged a ton and someone like DeAndre Hopkins, who's all over people and pushing off and hand fighting all that, never gets offensive PI called?
It's ridiculous. And you don't even get the same kind of outrage from, like, Norman, you know, he might flag, you know, knock a guy down or grab a guy a little bit. It's like, oh my gosh, he's always grabbing. He's always, you know, PI. But then you see DeAndre Hopkins and he's like throwing guys to the side and pulling guys down to go up and make a catch. And it's like nothing. Like you don't hear anything about it. And I'm just like, man, it's so unfair being a cornerback.
The big takeaway here with the corners is I thought they were going to be a problem, especially after Verrett went down, and they haven't been a problem. They haven't been amazing. Dante Johnson, he's been okay. He's been fine, right? Like it hasn't been awesome, but it's been fine. Emmanuel Mosley's been dang good. He's been great, right? Yeah. I love what I see from Emmanuel Mosley.
I'm going high with the grade on this one.
Yeah. What about, let's talk about the rookies real quick. Diamador Lenore. I thought he was doing well, progressing well. He hasn't seen the field. So obviously he did something they did not like, and he hasn't seen the field. I don't think that's right. I would probably be playing him over Dante Johnson and Dre Kirkpatrick. But also, obviously, the 49ers, they're going vets. They're skewing toward the veterans right now.
Okay, so my thought process on that is, you know, he had a couple of hiccups late against the Packers. One on it was like an in-breaking route, and then they had the corner behind it, and he was just a tad bit too shallow. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers, perfect pass right over his hand for a touchdown. And then the late game catch that he gave up to Devontae Adams on the end-breaking route where he was supposed to be in a two-man trail and he was on top of him and allowed an end-breaking route, wasn't able to undercut it, which the play that they called, he was supposed to do that. So, you know, I think just maybe they're thinking, you know what, just a little bit too young and we don't want to continue to have to deal with, you know, going through his growing pains every single game, maybe like the quarterback situation as well. And, hey, let's go with veterans. And with the veterans, I mean, the biggest thing that's been the issue is a flag here and there. But aside from that, I think, and to talk about Diamador in the slot, where I think he'd be a terrific slot. I think he'd be great in the slot. But there's so much mentally that goes into the slot. And because of the injuries on the outside, I don't think he's gotten a lot of reps as a nickel guy.
I think I'm slightly worried about Kaywan, too. And Kaywan's a free agent. Like, that job should be Diamador Lenore's next year, and they should be preparing him for that right now.
It will be Lenore's, but right now, again, like the quarterback position, they're trying to win games. So it's like, if we don't have to go through these growing pains, and Dante Johnson has been cross-training at the nickel spot for multiple years now. He played it last year as well. Mm-hmm. So they're just looking at it like, look, we'll plug you in. Probably training Diamador Lenore right now. Okay, you see that? You see that? Because there's so much that goes into playing the nickel. You got to be on one with the linebackers. You got to be on the same page with the cornerbacks. You have to understand your spacing. I mean, you know, the drops, like, it's so much different than playing on the outside at corner, which is definitely more simpler. So they're probably preparing him for that, but it's just like, well, we don't have to play him there yet. But when that time comes and they feel like he's ready, they'll probably throw him in there.
Now I'll let you guess who has the lowest coverage grade on the 49ers. I think you might have a better shot at guessing this one.
Josh Norman.
Close. He's second lowest coverage grade, but one guy's got him beat by a lot. Ambry Thomas, the rookie. Only one game, 9 coverage snaps for Ambry Thomas, and they've yanked him out of the game. He hasn't been back on the field since. He's only been targeted 3 times, gave up 3 catches for 44 yards. So he looked
kind of lost. Well, the reason why I said Josh Norman is because I think he's actually done a terrific job playing corner, but he's been flagged like 4 times. Mm. And I know how that's going to ding you. So a couple times against Devontae Smith, and then a couple times against, like, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he's just had the flags. But I think aside from that, his coverage has been terrific. So I knew he'd be dinged with those flags, though.
Yeah, 4 penalties so far for Josh Norman. He's been targeted 9 times, given up 5 catches on those 9 targets, and 2 touchdowns, which also is going to hurt him.
Not good.
But, yeah. Anyway, I think they've – what's your
– he was fighting on a couple of – I mean, it was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
like, it's like, man, it's tough. Well, yeah, like, what do I do, man? It was perfect coverage.
It's definitely tough.
When you talk about coverage grade, he obviously is going to get dinged for that, but it's like, man, it's perfect coverage.
Hardest position.
How about grade?
Hardest position in the NFL, right? Corner?
100%.
Yeah.
From an athletic standpoint and like marrying and matching the guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like the toughest position to play is just quarterback.
Quarterback, right.
Because you got to know so much and you have so much on your plate.
Grade for corners?
Yeah. A minus.
A minus.
And A minus because I think regardless of all the turnover that they've had to have, you know, guys that they just had to step in off of the street, they have not been the issue. And I don't care. Y'all can come for me on Twitter because I hear it. The corners suck. The corners suck. The corners suck. Corners have not been the issue in none of these games. Like, especially on the consistent, they're not guys that are just, oh my gosh, these guys are just picking on our guys, aside from maybe like Devontae Adams getting busy. But the corners haven't been the issue. We played against the Seattle Seahawks. Like, the corners played extremely well against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Were they ever the issue in that game at all? Mm. When everybody just thought they would get torched? The only person that's really like done extremely well against them, Devontae Adams and the Packers. Aside from that, I think corners have been really good.
They were really good about with that deep group of receivers against the Cardinals. And DeAndre Hopkins got him at the end and got that touchdown. But, you know, he's going to do that. And the coverage was close on that play. So I've been impressed. I'm not going to go A minus. I'm going to go B minus. But still more than I expected after the injuries. they're passing. They're passing and they're celebrating the degree that they get with that kind of a grade. I wish I had a B minus for a B minus average in college. I don't think I was there.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're playing well, man. Especially considering, again, you got to take in everything that's going on. You lose the one guy couldn't lose with Jason Verrett. You're plugging in guys. You're having to play rookies. And even that, throughout all of that, seventh defense against the pass, they've been doing extremely well. They've been limiting the big plays on the outsides. There have been a couple big plays, but, you know, okay, Lenore, I'll get you out of here, you know. But I think just on a game-to-game basis, I've been impressed with how the guys on the outside have played and how they have not been the issue, like we probably would have thought.
Good stuff.
But they still are in fans' eyes. They still are in fans' eyes because I see that our corners are terrible. Oh, they suck. And I'm just like, man, go watch another team.
Those are the grades for the 49ers. Yeah, go watch some other teams for some reference, especially with some positions like corner, offensive line. There's some really bad offensive line play around the NFL. Coaching. There's some bad coaching around the NFL. Croc, what would you give for grades? You're giving D'Amico an A. I feel that coming.
100% an A.
Yeah.
He's done an amazing job, even with the offense being as stagnant as it is. And obviously, like you said, you know, to kind of lead this episode off, I was a little upset with the offense, and it's like they were supposed to be the strength of this team, and they just weren't. They haven't been.
They were supposed to take a huge step. That offense not only was supposed to be as good, they were supposed to be better, and they've been worse in a lot of ways. Like I'm a little bit worried about some things there, and it's not because of the running back position that they're, you know, worse on offense. That's definitely not it. And there's something going on with Kyle Shanahan. So if you're grading Kyle Shanahan, what are we looking at here? I don't think he passes. He's not passing for me right now. And he's being held to a high standard.
He is being held to a high standard. But even then, I think to any standard, when you have a team coming into the season with the weapons that the 49ers have, but it's just how he's handling the situations, the whole Brandon Ayuk thing, don't know what the hell is going on there. The offense being stagnant, you go into games against the Philadelphia Eagles, three straight three and outs, only scoring 7 points in three straight games, and then zero in the last game. So four straight games, four games, three total first half touchdowns. Like, Kyle, that's on you and your decision making. Hasn't been great, but I do have all the confidence in the world that Kyle Shanahan will get out of this rut that he's in. Just got to start getting in the rhythm, and I'm hoping it's coming. But definitely the best coach on this team right now is for sure being D'Amico Ryan.
I got a D for Kyle. What do you got?
D minus.
You wanted to go F. I could see like it. You almost formed those words.
D minus. Yeah, I wanted to go F, but D minus because of just how part of being a head coach is, you know, being the manager of everything. And I feel like offensively, which is your baby, the way you're managing the quarterback situation, the team having no identity, the weird running back situation where your running back just runs for almost 100 yards against Seahawks, and then you just only give him one carry. You run your quarterback However, I mean, you know, like 10 design runs for your quarterback, not having a plan for him, didn't get him any reps. We don't know what the plan is moving forward. Just so many question marks surrounding the offense, and that's your baby, Kyle Shanahan. So I'm not out on Shanahan, and I'm curious to see, you know, hopefully we do some like second quarter grades, and I hope to have a better report for our guy, Kyle Shanahan, because I do believe in him.
We'll check in with those mid-season grades, and I think the 49ers can snap out of it, and it's tough because we don't see what's going on during this bye week, but I think this is a huge week for them to take a deep breath, regroup, figure some things out, and I think they could come out really hot after this bye week, and it's still up for grabs. Like, this is still a team that should be a playoff team, and that's what I expect going forward. So we'll check back in with our mid-season grades right here on Locked On 49ers. More coming up this week as we get ready for Week 7 and those Indianapolis Colts. Thanks for making us your first listen every day right here, Locked On 49ers.